Say good morning to each and every one of you here today. Bring you greetings this morning in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's good to be here with you again today. Could I get somebody to hit the spotlights here, please? Thank you. Yeah, it is good to come together to worship the Lord together. I trust you all feel welcomed here as we worship the Lord, especially the visitors are with us. You'll feel welcomed here as we worship the Lord together. Anyway, it is good to be gathered together and to worship the Lord. I just appreciated the songs that we sang. The scripture reading that Brother J.R. had fit very well with what we are looking at here in our study in Philippians and thinking about the Apostle Paul. And I can just, that last song we sang, oh, it is wonderful. I can just about imagine as Apostle Paul was sitting in prison that he would be, you know, the joy that he had, that he would be singing something like that. And obviously probably didn't have this song back then, but yeah, his heart was rejoicing for what God had done and the work that Jesus had done in his life. But the fourth verse, I'll just read that there in song number 55, the last one we sang. If fellowship here with my Lord can be so inexpressibly sweet, or what will it be when his face we see, when round the bright throne we meet, when round the bright throne we meet. You know, I was thinking as we were singing that song that that was what kept the Apostle Paul going, even in the midst of all his adversity that he faced in life. And I trust that that's what can keep us going as we go through some of the trials and hardships and struggles of life as well. As I said, we'll be continuing our study here in the book of Philippians. We'll be looking at verses 21 through 30 there in chapter 1. The whole chapter, first chapter here, we could say is kind of a greeting and an acknowledgement of where they were at in life and kind of an affirmation for them to continue on with the work of the church and to not lose heart. You could probably apply some other things in here, but that was kind of the main thrust of what we noticed a lot in this first chapter. One thing we will continue to notice as we go through this book, and as well as many of the other letters that Paul wrote, but specifically in this book of Philippians that we're looking at, is Paul's joy and his encouragement to rejoice in the Lord. And you know, and I guess the reason I want us to continue to think about that, his joy and rejoicing wasn't coming from any of his circumstances in life. It was coming from his relationship with his Lord Jesus and what the Lord had done in his life. The title of the message this morning is, I Choose Joy. I'll read the text at this time, Philippians chapter 1, verses 21 through 30. It starts out there, it says, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. For if I live in the flesh, that is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose, I want not. For I am in a strait, or I am hard-pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide with you in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you for all your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye may stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them as an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which ye saw in me, and now here to be in me. It's a lot we could look at here in this passage of Scripture, but thinking about what all the Apostle Paul was saying here. But that first verse that we read there in our text, verse 21, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I think I mentioned before that that was what my dad wanted to be used as a text, main text for his funeral message. And as a young boy, when I was 14, when my father died, I was struggling with what all was happening at that point with my dad dying, and I could not see any gain from anything happening from what was taking place at that moment. But as I look back and as I grew older and realized what all this verse means, what all my dad was saying, when he wanted this verse to be used as his main text, to die is gain. You know, I enjoy life here on this earth, and don't hear me wrong this morning. I love to interact with people. I love what I do. They always say if you enjoy the work you do, you never work a day in your life. I always enjoy farming. I don't always enjoy some of the long hours sometimes and the busyness of the season, but I do enjoy farming, so that I really enjoy that. Enjoy my being with my wife and family. I enjoy interacting with each of you here. So I enjoy living life, but thinking of that thought, to die is gain. To die is, you know, sometimes we look at death as the end, and the sadness is for the people that are left behind, not for the one leaving. The one leaving is getting the reward for what is waiting for each one of us that have a relationship with Jesus. And not only getting our reward, but being able to see Jesus face to face and our loved ones that have gone on before. There we see Paul focusing on things that have lasting value. As we think of some of Paul's life, his mission in life was to glorify Christ. His main goal was to glorify God and to be in tune with God and to glorify Christ in everything he did. Thinking of some of that, a couple verses that maybe will emphasize that a little more. Verse 10 in chapter 3 of Philippians, that I may know him. And one of the commentaries saying there, that phrase, that I may know him, to be fully acquainted with his nature, his character, and his work, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection. Notice the next phrase, in the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. His desire was to know Christ, and that thought of fellowship with his sufferings, in other words, he was willing to suffer for Christ if that's what it took for him to further the gospel. And then in Ephesians 3, verse 16 through 19, says, actually 19 is the main one I'm looking at, but I'll read a couple other verses there, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. You know that thought there, that we would be filled, to know the love of Christ which passeth all knowledge, and that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. The first three verses here in our text kind of flow together as you think about the Apostle Paul as he was writing this letter to the church at Philippi there. Actually, you probably could say the first four verses, but it starts out there in verse 21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. For if I live in the flesh, that is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose, I wot not, or I cannot tell. For I am in a strait, or I am hard pressed, or I am struggling here between the two. For I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide with you in the flesh is more needful for you. We sense him saying that if I live, my life will glorify Christ. If I live, I want to continue to be there for you in any way I can to further the gospel. But if I die, I win. I get to go to be with Christ, which is far better, he says there at the end of verse 23. And you can sense his struggle. He's saying, I'm hard-pressed, or I'm really struggling here of what is the best thing for my life. And we know that God is the one that ultimately has control of when somebody leaves this earth. But we sense the Apostle Paul struggling here a little bit with, not when I say struggling, having a desire for both is maybe what I should say instead of struggling. Not that he was struggling in his life or where he was at, but having a desire and the struggle that caused from that. Paul was saying, if I die, it's not going to be a tragedy. You know, you think of people looking on. In a human perspective, it don't make sense. If a man goes to prison and has gotten beaten and all the things that happened to the Apostle Paul, because of his faith in Christ, that from a human standpoint, that does not make sense for somebody to go through that. But he had all those struggles that he faced. Here he is in prison. And if he ends up dying, that would look from a human perspective like he lost. But the Apostle Paul is saying, if I die, it's not going to be a tragedy. In fact, it's going to be a great blessing. If he died, he would be released from all the difficulties of this life and would immediately be in the presence of Jesus. One thing that kept coming to my mind as I was studying, I want us to grasp here, is that Paul's happiness, joy, and peace was a choice. Because of his relationship that he had with God and his son Jesus, Paul, I believe, chose joy on a daily basis. You know, go back to when Paul and Silas were beaten and put in prison, and they were chained to stocks, and they were singing in the jail. There's only one way that that could happen, and that was because they chose joy to rejoice in who Jesus was. One of the things I thought about for us today, do we dwell on the negative or do we dwell on the positive? Paul would have had a lot of negative to think about and dwell on if he chose to, but he'd dwell on the positive of who he was in Christ. A lot of people run around trying to find peace and joy, trying to blame their problems on others around them. You know, all of us could do that if we choose to. The Apostle Paul could do that, could have done that. But we can also choose to forgive and to move on and choose joy. Someone once said, we cannot be truly happy until we recognize that we cannot outsource our happiness to other people. We cannot keep saying that we're not happy because of this person or that disaster or that this circumstance. Until we stop blaming others for our situation and our problems, we will not find true and lasting happiness and joy. True happiness in the Christian life can only come from a right relationship with Jesus and a heart that is fully surrendered to him and his will. Life has ups and downs. Every moment of life won't be happy-go-lucky, so to speak. We say the expression, we have mountaintops and valley experiences, and all of us have them in life. But joy in life, because of a relationship with Jesus, can and will sustain us if we keep our faith and trust in the Lord. A couple verses thinking about that, of how we can do that. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. In 2 Corinthians 5:7, another verse, says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. So there we see two things that can help us to continue to have joy. As we walk by faith, not by sight. In other words, walk by faith, or walk by our relationship with the Lord, not by sight, not by the things that are happening around about us so much. And the other one, as we continue to cast all of our cares upon him, knowing that he cares for each one of us. Verse 24 there, knowing that it is more needful for me to continue on in the flesh. We see that Paul realized that it would benefit them more if he would continue on in the flesh at this point in life. But then in verse 25, that he is confident and he is also persuaded or convinced that the Lord still has a work for him to do. Even though he was sitting in prison, even though he couldn't go out and meet the people and preach and teach the gospel as he had done for many, many years, he was still saying that he was confident that the Lord still had something for him to do. In the end of verse 25 there, we see that phrase, joy of faith. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you for your furtherance and joy of faith. Thinking about that thought of Paul continuing to express the joy that he had because of his faith in the Lord. I believe we could say the Apostle Paul was saying in the first several verses that he was ready to go home and he would love to go home. Thinking of that phrase, to die is gain. But he was realized and was persuaded that as long as the Lord allowed him to be here on this earth, there was still something for him to continue to do, and his work was not done yet. If he continued here on in the earth as he was at that point, it was better for the life of the church. And if that's what God's desire for him to do, he was willing and satisfied to do that, regardless of the cost. Thinking about having a positive attitude, it's another quote by Chuck Swindoll. It said, life is a whole lot about perspective, how you see something, your attitude, about making the right choices. Chuck Swindoll went on to say, I'm convinced that life is 10% of what happens and 90% of how I react to what happens. Think about that for a moment. And here again, I think I shared in the last message, we all face discouraging times. We all face disasters or tragedies that can sweep us off of our feet and make us begin to wonder. But what we do from there on out many times will have an effect on how we feel of what all is taking place. Verse 26 is continuing to call us to rejoice in the Lord, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. He was saying that the rejoicing would be greater if and when the Apostle Paul would be able to see them again. At that point in time, none of them had any idea how life was going to continue to work out. Verse 27 kind of brings out the thought of let your testimony of your life be that which will point others to Christ. Another thought that came to my mind, he was kind of bringing out the thought or the idea of regardless of what happens to me, continue on in the faith. Regardless of what happens to him, continue to press on in the faith. Verse in Ephesians 4, verse 1. Thinking about that, the Apostle Paul starts out here. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. In other words, that thought of walking worthy of the vocation, continuing on in the faith, continue to press on to do what God has you to do. He was encouraging them to continue on in the faith. He had no idea how much longer he was going to be here on this earth, and I don't think it really mattered to him, so to speak. That didn't really matter to him. That wasn't his greatest concern from what we sense in his letter. But his greatest concern was that they would continue on in the faith, that they would continue on in the work that God had for them to do. He also wanted to hear about the good things that were happening. There in the middle of verse 27, there it says, I may hear of your affairs that you stand fast in one spirit and one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. I guess the thing that really struck out to me again this week as I was studying and preparing for the message, and this morning again as I was going over my notes before I came, is here we have a man that had suffered tremendously for Christ and the work of the church. But his main concern, his main goal was that he would hear that they were continuing to do the work of the church, that he would hear that he would continue to get a good report back, that they were moving forward, that they were continuing to spread the gospel. You know, not saying don't be overly concerned about me in here. I'm more concerned about what yons are doing out there. And so I guess an encouragement for us today here is, you know, different ones face tragedies, different ones face health problems from time to time. But let's continue to press on in the unity of the Spirit with one mind, one spirit, striving together for the faith of the gospel, to continue to press on and be an encouragement to one another. Verse 28, he's pretty much telling them to not lose heart. The verse says there, don't be terrified, and in nothing be terrified by your adversaries. Don't be alarmed by those that are opposing you for doing what is right. We have an adversary, the devil, that is Satan himself, who would love to destroy us and to destroy the testimony of the church. I don't think I need to tell any one of you this, but we live in an increasingly godless and sinful society. But as a family, as God's family, we cannot and will not be defeated. Matthew 16:18, very famous words that Jesus told Peter there. He said, let me turn to it. Thought I was going to quote it, and I know part of it, and I can probably say it, but if I try to quote it, I'll probably say it wrong. Matthew 16:18. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That famous quote that Jesus made there, that I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. You know, the church of Jesus Christ will continue on. There will be loss at times. There will be people that walk away. There will be tragedies that happen, so to speak, when people fall into sin and to make wrong choices. But that don't mean that Jesus is failing. His church will continue on forever. Sinner, thinking about our text here this morning, we need to stand together and fight the good fight of faith. We need to stand. When we stand together, we cannot be defeated. We'll be much stronger when we stand together in unity and love, as it tells us there in that one verse, with one mind and one spirit, pressing forward for the work of the church. Even in Paul's suffering and persecution, he was acknowledging that God is still sovereign. The next verse there in verse 29, we are reminded that we have all been given not only the privilege to believe and trust in Jesus and have freedom in him, but we also at times will suffer for him. Did you notice what it says there? But unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him. In other words, salvation was given to you to believe on Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. There's other verses, and I won't take time to turn to them, but it basically gives a thought, and maybe I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but don't be surprised if you're a persecutor. Don't be surprised when you suffer for the Lord's sake. The Apostle Paul is giving us and showing us many things to think about. We're in charge of our choices, our attitude, and our happiness. So I thought about some of this. You know, I thought it might be good, and I haven't read this for a while. I've often referred to this as I think of the life of the Apostle Paul, but I'm going to turn back in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and read there where he said about the many things that he faced. In 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23 through 28. And it says, are they ministers? Well, right before this, he was talking about where Satan himself has the ability to transform into the angels of light and all his ministers and, transforming into ministers of righteousness. But then he goes on to say, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more often, frequent in death, in deaths often. Let me say that last part of that. In prisons more often, in deaths oft. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, saved one. In other words, 39 times he was beaten. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck, a day and a night. I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides these things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the cares of all the churches. You know, as I read across that again this week, I was thinking, you know, if one or two of them things would happen to me, I would probably be ready to quit. But you think about that for a moment. You know, that being beaten or being whipped with 39 stripes. Oftentimes, if you read how they did that, they would often had little stones or little pieces of bone woven in the string that they made the whip with the intent of causing cuts and lacerations, more pain from that. Beaten with rods, stoned, And all the other things he mentioned there in weariness, painfulness. And then he went on to say, and beside verse 28, and besides all these, beyond all of these, I continued on with the cares of the churches. He talks about being weak. He talks about being hungry at times. And why do I want us to think about some of that? He went through all of that, but yet we don't sense him complaining. He's saying here, continue on in the joy of the Lord. Continue on with the work of the church. He says, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. He's basically saying, I choose joy. I focus to choose on Jesus and being in heaven with him someday. So as we think about some of that, where are we at today? What are we choosing to do? Are we choosing joy? Are we choosing to trust and rest in our relationship with the Lord? Are we giving of our best, of our time and talents to the work of the church? None of us know what we will face in life. But with God by our side, we can go forward in confidence, knowing that he is in control. When you think about not knowing what we will face in life, none of us have a promise of tomorrow. You know, we hear of different people getting cancer. You hear of different people, other things happening. You hear, I've lived long enough. A couple of my best friends were killed instantly. My oldest brother was killed instantly in a farming accident years ago. My dad died from cancer. You know, we none of us have a promise of tomorrow. There's two things I want us to think about as we come to a close here. Well, let me say this before I say that. What do we remember the Apostle Paul by? Yeah, he quotes some of these things he faced. He quotes some of these things he struggled with. But we remember most of how he chose to press on and live for the Lord regardless of what happened. There's two things that I want us to think about this morning. The first one is, what are we doing for the church because of our relationship with the Lord? And are we ready to go when the Lord comes back? Can we say that as the Apostle Paul did in verse 21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain? You know, I'm not real old yet. I don't think I am. Some of you might think I am. But, you know, the older I get, when I was young, you kind of thought you were invincible. You thought you were going to live for a long time, yeah. You know, life expectancies, 70, 80. What is the average life now? So I think it's in the 80s now, I think, maybe. I haven't looked recently. But I know it keeps moving up, but seems every so often. But that don't mean we're going to be promised that we're going to be here that long. What's going to matter is what we are doing with our life. Whether we're surrendered to the Lord, whether we're helping do the work of the church. And what are we going to be remembered by? Are we going to be remembered that we did help do the work of the church? Or are we going to be remembered by something that would be far more worse than that? I trust that each one of us will have a testimony when we leave this life that we chose joy. We chose to surrender to the Lord and we chose to help do the work of the church and to come alongside and to encourage and to love and to build up the church and to continue on with the faith. With those thoughts in mind, let us kneel for prayer.